from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome to Postcard from Popbread. I'm home. I'm back. I'm here. Thank you to Petra for looking after last week. Well, trying to. I'm Eric Wiltshire at the base of glorious Tattery Mountains where the sun is pouring in the window. The football stadium looks like a little version of Chelsea, and we're awaiting the arrival of Manchester United youth very, very shortly, and also Sparta Prague as well. We'll have a lot about that next week. It's on the 30th, so if you're over in this part of the world, come over on the 30th, and you can watch Sparta Prague playing Manchester United youth, and I'll be there as well. Gosh. Over in the UK, it's none other than Mr. Manflu himself, Lee G. Banks.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, etc. I tell you, honestly, oh, I would like...
Rach, I'm going to introduce you now because... And down there in Darwin, it's Rachel.
Here I am, and he's Lee.
Rachel.
Yes?
Did you notice how he ran out of breath quickly?
Yes, he's got a really weak lung capacity, like a little kitten.
Ah, well, in which case he won't talk too much.
I am like a little kitten. You're quite right. And at this moment, I need stroking.
Yeah, right. Go on, then.
See, as you talked across it when I was about to do it, because you're just a very, very rude old man.
Anyway, yes.
Right, here's my public announcement on behalf of men.
Right.
We are that much maligned species, oh no. Which has an indescribably unfortunate condition that only affects men flu. And right. Do you know?
Lee, you put it in plural, not singular. You said men flu. You have.
Well, there's a lot of men have got it. I've got a double dose.
Anyway, let's move on.
Something serious about it, right?
Yeah, right.
Whinge, whinge, moan. Full-blown man flu
yeah.
A female chimp. And do you know what happened?
Right.
Became so ill that her head literally fell off.
Yeah.
Literally.
Anyway, this is your alternative sideways look at the news, and we don't care about his man flu. hi to the guys over in the US, at Replay and Breeze and everywhere else. And wherever you're listening on your walkabout mobile phone, because we are that technology aware that we know you walk down the road listening to us now, just like the 1960s from those old black and white movies. But before we start, we have to say happy birthday to my 9-year-old daughter.
Yes, she's 9. She's awesome.
Lovely.
9's the best age ever.
She's the best thing that ever happened to you, you know, Eric.
Yeah, she's not really 9. No.
Yeah, she's lovely.
I'm trying to convince myself she's 9.
That's because...
Yeah.
What?
That's
because... I was just going to say, that's because of your own vulnerability, isn't it?
Anyway, you heard Caroline a couple of weeks ago on this July in this.
Oh, it's longer than that now.
It is,
she
isn't it?
Was incredible. She was the Wiltshire who should be on the radio.
All right. Do you know I didn't get any abuse last week? It's funny that Prague was lovely. But there you go.
Do you know that man flow is more painful than childbirth? That's been scientifically proven.
Yeah. Yeah. Rachel?
Yes?
Can you do me a favour?
Sure.
Can you go onto the television or on the internet and just see if there's any large pink elephants flying over England?
On the telephone?
Wait a minute.
On the television?
I'm checking out the NASA site.
Yeah, that'll do. That'll do.
Oh, yes, it's a pig-like object.
Really? I bet it's over the north of England, isn't it?
He's not like Berwick playing to Australia.
It's at about 40,000 feet.
Ah, right. Yeah, it's about the size of his nose. Anyway, this is supposed to be an alternative look at the news, so we're going to start with something serious. Over 100 homes have been destroyed in the worst fires in a decade in New South Wales. Also a fatality as well. Rachel, what's the latest news from Oz?
The latest news with New South Wales is that the Bloom Mountains, the Central Coast and the Lithgow areas are all ablaze tonight still. It's torn through about 91,000 hectares of land. There's
91,000?
That's a big area.
Gee whiz.
It's massive. The problem has been yesterday it was 32 degrees. And there were really heavy, heavy northeasterly winds, and that was the problem. Once the wind gets hold of these things, that's when you get into trouble. And we've also had the driest winter and spring in about 10 years, so it's just a great big pile of kindling, really. The reality of living in Australia is that this stuff happens, and we're all very aware of it. Every year we get a bushfire that goes horribly wrong. But this is unprecedented in terms of, you know, New South Wales hasn't dealt with this for a very long time. They haven't had to deal with this in a very long time. But today the temperature dropped about 10 degrees and the wind died down a little bit. They're hoping to get as much under control as they can before Sunday when the weather is going to get worse again. This is to give you an idea of how big this is. Every firefighter that was available to fight these fires is there. So they've had to get their brothers and sisters from South Australia and Victoria and some from Queensland to go into that fire area as well. So currently there's about 1,500 firefighters on the ground.
Mm-hmm. How close has it got to Sydney?
It's not that close to Sydney, thank goodness, this time. It's about, I don't know, 70 k's, I guess. Probably about an hour's drive away from Sydney. The Blue Mountains, that's where the Blue Mountains is, and Lithgow and Southern Highlands are further, but it's all sort of based sort of, you know, there and then, you know, further north. So that's what you're dealing, that's what we're dealing with there. As far as getting into the CBD, like it did back in the 90s when we had those fires on the North Shore, they don't think that's going to happen, but in this particular case, you never know because it hasn't rained there for ages. Everything is just prickly and dry and horrible. The other health crisis that they're facing in terms of people in Sydney is the smoke. It's travelled, you sit there over the CBD like a big cloud, like Armageddon. It just looks really eerie. There's lots and lots of images on it on the net at the moment if you want to have a look, but it's really scary looking. And they're having a health crisis with older people.
Sorry, wait, I was just going to...
Yep.
I've just got to ask which direction the fire's headed in now. Is it actually headed towards Sydney or has that changed?
No, it's not headed towards Sydney. It's sort of heading sort of northeast was the last I saw. It was heading
Where does that take it? That take it, keep it out in the bush?
Yeah, it does. It keeps it out in the bush. And at the moment, it's sort of, if it stays away from the coast, it should be okay. If it goes inland, it depends. If they can keep it coastal, if they can put breakers up and keep it coastal, then they've got a better chance of putting it out because of the, you know, the elements are more prudent for firefighters there. It's like, you know what I mean? There's if it goes inland, it just becomes a tinderbox again. Mm. It's more for it to burn there.
Rach, do you know what's happening to those people that have been evacuated?
People who have been evacuated are actually being billeted in usually an emergency centre that they set up. They usually set up something that's in like a school gymnasium or something like that, and they have an evac centre, which they have many, many, many of them. But you're dealing with a big stretch of land and a lot of people, and it's really scary. They shut down all the schools today and got everybody out of there. But people are... Australians know that when this is just how it is when you live here. But what we want to stress is that no possession is worth losing your life over.
No.
So, you know, get what's precious to you and have it ready to go if you want to grab stuff on the way out. You can't do it when there's a fire bearing down on you because they change direction and they leap, you know, meters and meters and meters to get to you. They can just trick on a dime. It's amazing to watch. They're really scary. And before you know it, you're trapped and you can't go anywhere. And yeah, it's really scary. What we want to warn people in the CBD is to take care with the smoke because the elderly are suffering. They get really bad respiratory problems.
Mm.
Little children get really bad respiratory problems. And people who suffer from asthma and allergies, they get really, really, really bad respiratory problems with this type of smoke because it's so acrid. So we, you know, everybody stay out of smoke if you can avoid it. Don't go out.
I think that's a really good point to make because that's not the sort of thing that usually is pointed out in these circumstances. There are far more victims than the ones who actually lose their homes or the valuables. Very good point.
Actually, yeah. when the high Tatras went up, and that was only 200.
Yeah, I remember
that that was only 200 hectares, and that was horrific. One of the problems was smoke inhalation, and even down in Poprad, where we are, the smell, being an asthmatic bloke, it was not nice. You had this horrible, pungent thing that hurt you to breathe, it is horrific. So anybody listening, get out, get a face mask. Don't go where the smoke is. Yeah, just be sensible and leave. The message I would always say is don't be an accident chaser. For goodness sake, leave room for the emergency services to get to everywhere in New South Wales where they want to go. And you stay the flipping heck out of the way. Watch the television if you want to see it. But don't get in the way of the emergency services.
Can I just make a point about the Prescott Bridge on this?
What?
It's not the press coverage as such, it's the TV coverage in particular. And I think we're seeing in this something which is becoming a global insult to everybody who gets involved in these kind of things. And it's the television people in particular who are doing it. And when you've got something as major as this, why do now television people focus on lost pets? I think this is absolutely shameful. You know, we've got a quote off the TV here where we're looking for one of my cats, Ollie. We hope he managed to hide down a drain. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with pets being brought into these stories, but what's happening every time there is a disaster of this proportion? We saw it in America. We've seen it all over Europe. Television stations, for some inexplicable reason, are focusing on pets because they think that pulls at that. That pulls at the heartstrings of the masses. And this goes back to the 70s, where press photographers used to turn up at disaster scenes with a child shoe or a teddy bear, put them on the floor and photograph them. The press stopped doing that, and now the media have picked it up and are running with it like idiots.
I haven't seen the same. Rach, have you seen that?
It's the sort of thing you will see from now on. You will see it from now on. Every story about a disaster has somebody moaning about the fact they've lost the pets, which is a tragedy, but not a tragedy of the size of what's actually happening.
Mm. No, I...
Do you know something that's actually really sensible that came out of this, that has come out of this thus far? Because we are so used to disasters like this, the Red Cross and the Salvation Army have asked people not to donate goods to the... Because usually what happens is people rally and they donate, stuff. And they've said, please don't donate goods because we don't have the capability of sorting it and getting everything organised and the people who we're trying to give it to don't have anywhere to put it because their house just burned down.
Yeah.
So
money would be
a whole lot easier and much, much more appreciated. Thanks very much. And I'm like, that's actually really sensible and it never occurred to me.
No.
You give people stuff
Well, anyway.
How the insurance companies reacted up to now, Rachel?
They're always right on top of it here with these sort of disasters, Lee, with flood and with fire, which are our two main doozies. They're right on top of it, right on top of it, and it all gets processed as quickly as they possibly can, to be fair to them. I mean, I know that there's certain in certain situations there's always going to be a problem with insurance. That's just, you know, the odds on that you're going to have an issue with somebody. But in the most part, they seem to be acting fairly quickly and getting it sorted for people as quickly as they can.
Okay, well, we're going to move on, ladies and gentlemen. We wish everybody down in New South Wales really stay safe. We are thinking of you, and let's just hope it all calms down rather quickly for you, because it's not nice to be in those situations. You know what we've forgotten to do, don't you?
What?
We've forgotten to do something, Rach.
Well, I know what we've forgotten to do.
We forgot to sing.
Yes, you did.
We did. Mm. Shall we sing?
I think you should sing on 3, 2, 1, go.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, dear Caroline.
Happy birthday to you. Did you hear that crack in my voice then? That's because of milk.
Yeah, right. Okay. Thank you, guys. Happy birthday, Caroline. We move on to... Now, ladies and gentlemen, the headline is The Code Monkey opens a debate on Roy Hodgson's comments. And who is the Code Monkey? Me. In the gaming industry, a coding person is often referred to as a code monkey. I often write code, therefore I'm a code monkey.
And do you
know,
right.
And do you know what? You what? Go on, Lee. Call me a code monkey.
You code monkey.
You're absolutely right.
You cheeky little code monkey.
I am. I resemble that remark.
Has that hurt you? Has that cut you to your quick? Oh. I did say quick.
Oh, Lee. Oh, I'm devastated. You can tell in my voice. I am.
I have been cold. I have been cold. Yes. As well as man flu. I have been called a space cowboy. On various occasions in my life, I take that as a compliment.
Well, knowing what you were doing at the time, I'm sure. And to me, a space monkey is just somebody who's lost the plot.
He's lost his what?
Lost the plot, dear boy.
Oh, plot. Sorry, I thought you were talking about what you said before.
Yes. Anyway, if you've missed the story, which is just political correctness gone bonkers. Oh, Rach, I got one for you. Where's Rob? Ooh.
Why does my name get called as soon as the word bonkers comes out? Jeez. He's in bed, asleep, actually.
Okay, when he's naughty, you can call him Velke.
Oh, what's that mean?
Velke or pizza.
Oh.
Which means he's a big monkey.
Oh, well, that's true.
That's Lee's thing.
That's the doctor phoning me up to see if I'm all right.
Yeah, right. And I say that because it's a term of almost endearment in Slovakia where you say to somebody, malo or pizza, which is little monkey. With a bit naughty.
Cute. I think that's cute. I think that's dear.
Yeah, that's nice. So anyway, Roy Hodgson's got into trouble and some geezer called Lord Ousley, a long-standing anti-racism campaigner, I've now fallen to sleep, said that Roy Hodgson was right to apologise for using a space monkey joke whilst in the dressing room at half-time between England when they were playing Poland, who they happened to beat wonderfully and go on to the World Cup next year, which starts on the 12th of June, which is my birthday.
When you're 70.
Yeah, right. And I have to say to Lord Monkey Ousley.
Ousley,
whatever it said. You are in... You've lost the plot, mate.
I don't think he's that. Hey, Herman, he's a monster.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You're a monster, man. Yes. Wait, tell us all now for saying that you're a...
You're talking over each other, you two, again.
Sorry, love.
Go on, Grace, you go first.
I was saying, Lee should be careful because Lord Ousley will send him a letter for that. Calling him a monster.
Oh, right.
He seems to write letters and he's upset about just about everything.
Well, the interesting thing was the player that was in the middle of all this, the guy who should be fed the ball more, said, I don't know what all the fuss is about. No offence was meant and none was taken. And yet still, Lord Ousley still goes on, even though the guys that were in the dressing room, of which the reference was made, are going, well, what's the problem, mate? What's the problem? So you've got
It's almost like he said to that. He said, "Oh, they're all upset," and the guy said, "We're not upset." And he said, "That's not the point."
Yes, exactly. What a nutcase!
The basics of humour is taking the mickey out of people and calling them a space monkey has no kind of anti-racism, any kind of racism attached to it at all.
No.
To call Herman Ousley Herman Munster might actually have some racism against monster people.
Could do.
Complain about that, Lord Ousley.
Lord Ousley now wants the Football Association to waste a load of money having an investigation. I would say to the FA, don't bother. It's not.
Who is he anyway? Has anybody heard of Herman before?
No.
Get back in your box, Herman.
Yeah, I think you should go away, mate. Moving along, Lee and I have a difference of opinion. Oh, that's unusual. because, oh my God, there's a spider on my pillow.
It's your head piece that's fallen off.
Yeah, in your case, probably. British firefighters trying to cut down on unnecessary emergency calls have released some of the most trivial requests that they've been asked to fix. One of them was a spider crawling on a pillow. And a squirrel wedged behind a wardrobe. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that is not what the fire service is for.
The fire service is there to serve and protect, just like the police. And if somebody thinks they've got a poisonous spider on the pillow, the first thing, we are indoctrinated to do this like the rest of the world. If you see something that you're unsure of and you don't feel capable of dealing with it, you phone the emergency services. Now the emergency services are going to tell, get lost, phone the RSPCA.
Good.
I say, get your whatever it is, into your big truck and come round here and suck me spider off!
I would say, if you phone up the fire service with an idiotic request like that,
you should know the spider's an idiot.
you should be sent a bill for wasting fighters' time. Go on.
This is new. This is a new thing for me, but I have to disagree with Lee here.
Uh-oh.
I really don't. This is unprecedented, and I don't quite know what to do with myself. But I live in Australia. Everybody knows this is a place for the creepy crawlies. If I called the fire brigade every time a spider went over my pillow, they'd just If I called them every time there was a spider on my pillow, they'd be here every day. I'd have to just get a permanent base set up across the road. But, I mean, you know, that's ridiculous. If you aren't sure what the spider is...
Get up.
You will die if you spray it with enough insect stuff.
Yeah.
Anything. So you spray the whole can on it if necessary, but you don't ring 999. That is ridiculous. You could be impeding them from going to an actual emergency.
And I like the rest. Here's a couple of others for you. Somebody phoned up to report a fox in the garden.
Another one
phoned up to seek advice about how to get a bat out of the kitchen. Open the door, you numpty.
Throw a ball for it.
The only time you should be able to ring them is if the fox or the bat was on fire.
And they're not.
Exactly. No, but seriously, there is a serious point to this.
Yeah.
The simple fact is the emergency services in England have become hamstrung by health and safety. And
what's that got to do with some numpty saying, there's a spider on my pillow and I'm scared and I'm so scared my back is stuck to the bed and I can't get up?
I'm about to explain how this all comes together like a massive web drawing itself through the atmosphere down into my gob so I can see it. right? It's simple. Health and safety has gone insane in Britain and particularly affects the 999 services, particularly the fire brigade. And the fire brigade now have been pilloried for allowing people to die. So one person in water had to be rescued by passers-by while the fire brigade said, oh, can't go in there, it's a bit deep, that, oh, health and safety won't allow us. And this is just another move on the side of a service that we rely on for health and safety that to do even less.
It's a bit, okay, we'll try another one on him, Rach. Let's try another one on him. A woman dialed the emergency services after throwing a glass of water containing her false teeth at dogs fighting.
Ooh.
What's that got to do with the fire service?
I wouldn't know, but she probably wanted her teeth back.
Yeah, and another one was somebody asking a firefighter to help retrieve a shoe stuck on the roof. It's your fault for throwing it up there.
But the fire service have got ladders.
Well, so has most houses.
Maybe she didn't. Maybe she was a ladderless lady.
Could have been. What's that got to do with it?
In principle, what I'm saying is, yes, I agree with you, Eric, and with you, Rachel.
My God.
I agree with everybody that this is a terrible, ridiculous thing for people to do. But in this world, people do silly things in moments of panic. Mm-hmm. And if they think that's a poisonous spider or that squirrel's got rabies.
How
or
many,
like
do
that.
You know, there's one poisonous spider in England. There is
What's
one. It? There is one.
What's there, it called?
I can't remember the name of it, but there is one in England. And if
called
you get
pizza.
Yeah, if you get bitten by it, you're liable to get a swollen arm.
Oh!
And they want to call the emergency.
You don't have any spiders that kill you?
No!
That could be useful at your age, Eric.
Yeah. So I agree with the fire service. They
I agree
say
with the fire service too. But they've got to stop turning down jobs willy-nilly.
No. If you're calling because there's an unexpected animal in your house, call the RSPCA. Absolutely right.
The RSPCA won't do anything.
They will. They'll come out.
Well, they'll come out. They come and they nick your Marmite and all sorts.
Yeah, but at least they get rid of the critter.
That's right. What the fire service are saying, and I have absolutely agree, we are here to respond to real emergencies. So if you find a squirrel in your kitchen or you lose your keys down the toilet, don't dial the emergency service. Well, actually, you can't dial them anyway because you push the keypad. But don't call the emergency services out because there's no point whatsoever. And as Rachel quite rightly said, you could be, you know, you call the fire engine to you. There's a house burning in another part a little bit later. And they've got to take twice as long to get over there as, you know, well.
Hello.
Hello, you're back. And it just takes, you've just wasted so much time. So please don't do it. Think
don't
about
do it
first.
Gentlemen.
No, yeah. Don't do that. Think about it first and just have a little bit of sanity. If you see the spider and you're scared, get out of bed.
Yes, and get a glass and put it over the murderous tarantula.
Yes.
Scoop it up and chuck it out of your window so
there
it goes next door and poisons your neighbours.
There you go. Then you see, problem solved. What's the matter?
Simple.
We'll be back in part two of Postcard from Pop Rad when we ask this very serious question. If you're dead, can you be arrested for robbing a bank? So the question again, if you're dead, can you be arrested for robbing a bank? The answer will come very quickly. See you in a minute.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.